to look around and notice the folks that are missing this morning. There's some that are sick and not able to be here, and so would you continue to pray for them? Others are dealing with some serious matters that we can't necessarily share, but your prayers would be appreciated. So if you just look around, see who's missing, and just send the prayer for them, and we hope to see them back with us soon. Well, we got a special treat this morning. And Evangelist Sturz is here. He's going to be preaching for us in the service and then the one after the meal. And so that's going to be the hard one to stay awake, right? But not one of good. I wonder if we're going to have any of those on the lighter sides. Are we going to have that? Okay, I look forward to on the lighter side. And so that'll be a lot of fun. But at this moment, I'd like to ask Evangelist Sturz to come and give to us what God's laid on your heart.
Good morning. Sure, good to see you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some familiar faces I've seen before. And amen. And if you're, how many of you are going to heaven?
Amen.
All right. How many of you like that idea? Isn't that good? Yeah, absolutely. And on these days that are coming up as we get older, one more incentive I found to going to heaven is getting to see what brother and sister so-and-so look like in their new body. Ah, sure. Yes, indeed. It really is an opportunity the Lord has given to me to be able to be a blessing to churches. And an inspiration. I saw this this church sign out in front of the church. It said, "Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on." I thought you'd appreciate hearing that. And well, praise the Lord. It's really good to be in the Lord's house. I'm going to get right to the message here, and I'm sharing more of the lighter side in the afternoon service. And so I used to think, well, you know, these afternoon services are pretty decent in one respect because, well, you get to eat and then write. After the service, since you're already at church, you can come to the second service. Good idea. But I was also amazed at how many people didn't even stay for the second service. Just after they got done eating, they left. Where are you going? What's up with that? So here I am encouraging you to come and watch me work to keep you awake just after you eat. And I'm just want you to know I'm up for the challenge. Sure enough, I'm just looking forward to communicating the Word of God to the people of God. And that's critical, absolutely important that you get the message. You know, we came to church for something, right? I mean, why'd you come? Well, preacher, I have to admit, Mom drug me out the door by my ear, and so that's why I'm here. And I barely made it inside the door, and here I am. Some of you others, maybe you came, and you're just absolutely tickled that you're here. And so you might as well get something while you're here, all right? God has something to give you. He wants to speak to you. He's got a message on His heart, and if you could just hear it and receive it, and then do something with it. That's the key. Do something with the Word of God. Having said that, I'm going to take you in your Bibles and we're going to go to Matthew. Matthew, if you would please. The book of Matthew, we're going to go here to chapter 11. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11. I want to say thank you to the support that this church has given to us through the years. And we get to go places and meet people and see people. And I may share this a little bit later here, but while I preached a meeting as I was sharing in Sunday school in Des Moines, Iowa, first, actually the second time I was there, I was on a Wednesday night earlier in January of this year. And so they scheduled me for a two-week meeting. I was there for two whole weeks and three full Sundays. On the first Sunday, an Iowa State trooper got saved. And that was a pretty big deal. 40 years old, and he grew up in the church. How about that? Can you imagine somebody growing up in a church and not being saved? Has that ever happened? You ever hear that? It happens a lot, doesn't it? It happens a lot. And this young man got saved. I call him young man. For some of you, he's probably an old fellow, 40 years old. But at any rate, he's one of those eye-in-the-sky kind of patrolmen. He flies a plane and he catches people speeding that they didn't think I got caught. And so you have to be careful when you're driving, going over the speed limits and so forth, because not everybody on the ground's looking for you. There's somebody in the sky that's got his eye on you. But praise the Lord. Here we are just thanking God for His goodness, meeting our needs. Can you imagine you going to church 15 straight days? That's what we did, 15 straight days. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Well, that's unheard of, I know. But these folks were serious about revival, and we're rescheduling for another one this coming year. And it's just a neat thing to be able to come and let God get a hold of you. Just come and let God work. Come and let God work. Come and let God work. And how many of you have never been to a two-week revival meeting? There's a number of you folks. And so, there's always a first time for everything, huh? Well, amen. I'm going to take you here. We're going to look to the Word of God. And as we're in chapter 11 of the book of Matthew, the Bible, God's Word says, and this is verse 28, come. Jesus is speaking. He says, come. Come unto me. Come unto me. Now, we'll stop there and let's pray as we look to the Lord, please. Father in heaven, thank you for your graciousness and for your goodness to us. Thank you for the way you speak your word, make it plain, keep it simple, even so that we could understand. And Lord, for all of those that are listening here this day, O God of heaven, please, would you reach into the hearts of those who can hear and relate and understand, and then, Lord, to reach out to you for the answer to the questions of their heart. Find peace in their life. If there be any that are not saved, help them, Lord, to trust Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Oh, would you work in their hearts in a very special way? Give me the words to say. Enable them to receive them and responsibly react to your precious and holy word. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, and for his sake I pray. Amen. And so, Jesus personally invites. Now, again, I allude to the fact that we have prayed. We have asked God to speak to our hearts, right? Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. We have ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. Jesus makes a very personal, as he simply says, come unto me. Come unto me. Is he telling you that right now? It was written some 2,000 years ago. And yet, the Bible, God's Word, that you'll hear a little bit later, is very much alive. And the Holy Spirit is very much speaking. The Holy Spirit that Jesus is using to convey the message, he said, come unto me. Come, listen. Come here. Come receive the Word of God. let the Holy Spirit just somehow tell you how He can make your life better. How many of you agree that your life can be better? And how many of you also agree that God can make that happen? Yeah. God can do anything, right? Especially when you include you into the picture. If God can do something with you, He can do anything. Eh? He can do anything. Praise the Lord. God is gracious. God is powerful. And He seeks to bring victory in your life. He'll do it. But He needs your permission. How important does that make you feel? Wow. God needs my permission, right? I mean, after all, if you just shut God out, isn't that amazing? You can have the power to do that. You have the power to say no, the power to say, God, I'm not going to listen. I'll take my body to church. Oh, sure, I will. I'll put my body in that pew. I'll do it. But I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen to what you say. I'm not going to hear what you say. I'm not going to respond when the invitation is given. Oh, no. Don't you be counting on that. Hey, how many times have folks come to church with that mindset, that attitude, that spirit? Wow, we need to somehow come to a realization that God means for this to be a very live, very interactive service where the Holy Spirit is actively alive and actively speaking to us who came to church with warm bodies, breathing breath, and living. And so here we are listening to the Word of God. Jesus said, "Come unto me." And so He qualifies who it is that should come. He said, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." Anybody out there a taker? All ye, He said, that are heavy laden. He said, that labor, that got these burdens, that have these obstacles, these hardships, these difficulties in your life. Hey, come unto me. Come to me. I can fix it. I can take care of you. He said, and I will give you, and what's the last word? Rest. Ah. How many of you know how to rest? You know, I've met people who just don't know how to do that. Have you ever met anybody who just doesn't know how to rest? I mean, they work and they work. And then they come and they sit down at home and then they're still working and they have to get up and go do something. And then they go to bed and they toss and they turn. And they're thinking and they're tossing and they're turning and they're thinking. And there's just no real rest. And I also find that there are people who have a very difficult time resting in their spirit. And that's the people that God's talking to. People that have no rest in their soul. People that are in turmoil. They're just inside out, upside down. Jesus then said in verse 29, He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He said, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." And then He said, "And ye shall find," what's the next word? "And ye shall find rest unto your," what? There it is. This is not physical rest. This is soul rest. How many of you can actually say this morning, "My soul is at rest"? Or you would like it to be at rest. Because you come to church and you bring all of these burdens and you just give them to God. And that's really what this is about. Giving all of your burdens to God. Bring the load that's upon your soul and your spirit. And it's so critical that as a child of God, we find a way to be rested in our spirit. A few years back, I had the opportunity to sit at a table at a church in Texas with the song leader, this one church that I was holding a revival meeting for, and his wife was there, he was there, and I was sitting on this other side, and And all of a sudden it came out, this man who was about 50 some years old, he admitted that he doubted his salvation. Did you ever meet anybody that's doubted their salvation? Did you ever meet anybody that said, you know, I think I'm saved, but then you know I'm not so sure. You know, I've wondered, you know, I did what I was told, but then you know I still wonder if I'm going to heaven or not. The folks like that sit in church pews. And that's what happened to this 40-year-old Iowa State trooper. He just he went through the motions when he was a kid. And he'd struggled with that for years. You know, maybe I am. Maybe I'm saved. Maybe I'm not. And so I'm trying to talk with this song leader. And a song leader of a Baptist church struggling with the fact that he's saved. Isn't it amazing? It happens. Even to people in positions in churches. I think it's incredible. And this, and so the story goes on where this young man just decided he was going to take care of it and get it settled. And that afternoon at that revival meeting, he got saved. Praise the Lord. Got it taken care of, settled in his heart, mind, and soul. And he wrote to me later on and he said, "Preacher, it's a big difference of knowing Jesus in your mind as opposed to in your heart. And now that he knows him in his heart, what a blessing." He is absolutely encouraged and blessed to no end. And I'm so thankful that God could use a church like this to help this preacher be able to get around the country and be able to communicate the Word of God to people who need to hear, whose lives need to change. And maybe there's somebody here today, your life needs to change. Maybe you're already saved, but somehow or other, you came to the place where you're backslidden. Did you know that somebody who's backslidden does not have a rested spirit? Somebody who's backslidden has, their soul is not at rest. Their soul is not at rest. And somebody who is running from God is not rested in their spirit. Somebody who is not submitted and surrendered to the Holy Spirit, to the will of God, to the command, to the Word of God, is not rested in their soul. What does it mean to be at rest? It just simply means that you're going to totally, absolutely, and fully relax. Have you ever tried to relax and your mind just keeps turning and turning? Now, wait a minute. Let's rest now, okay? That includes your mind, okay? That includes your mind. Total rest. Relaxing totally in the Lord. So I'm talking to this man sitting at this table, and I'm trying to help him relate. We went through everything, and he's done everything that's required. And so I said, "Well, then you just simply need to trust. All right, just trust God that He has saved you, and leave it at that." And so I'm trying to explain to him what trust is. Could you explain to somebody what trust is? I mean, how do you actually do the thing called trust? What's the action of trust? Or then I just simply said, "Well, how about this? Faith, all right? Have faith that God saved your soul, all right? Have faith, all right? Faith." So, what's the action of faith? How do you make faith happen? I mean, you just stand there and go, There we go. I got faith. Is that how that works? No, it doesn't go that way either, does it? Doesn't go that way either. So I said, "Well, how about this? How about believe? Believe." So how do you do that? What's the action of believing? It's the same answer as faith and trust, right? Somehow, you have to find the action. There's something that you have to mechanically make work so that you can have faith, or so that you can trust, so that you can believe. So I was going in circles. And then the Lord showed me what I needed to show Him, which is found all the way over here in Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4. I need to show this to you. This is amazingly, amazingly incredible. in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. God says, "Let us, therefore." And when you read this "us," okay, kind of makes you feel like, wow, that means I can do this with somebody else. And it doesn't make you feel like you're all alone, right? So that means me and you, let us together. Let us together fear. All right? Fear God. Why? Because when a man fears God, he's going to obey the Lord, right? When a man fears God, he's going to obey the Lord. When a man fears God, he's going to go to church. When a man fears God, he's going to read his Bible. When a man fears God, he's going to pray, right? He's going to be faithful in all of these things. Let us, therefore, fear. Now notice, as we look a little further on, he said, lest a promise being left us of entering into his, what's the next word? Oh, there's that word again. Entering into his rest. All right, now, is God rested? Hey, we can understand that. God can be rested. Right. He knows how to simply be totally at rest. He needs, where he's totally relaxed, if you will, he knows rest in his bosom, in his soul. I mean, this is a big deal. And so God says, look, you need to experience my rest. You need to be in touch with my rest. And if you don't fear, and if you don't fear God, and if you don't follow His Word, and the Bible says, happy is the man who trusteth in the Lord. Happy is the man. Got any happy men here? Happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord. He's a happy man. Alright? Now, so here we have, this is amazing, that if we don't have it, we have come short of the rest of God. So if we come short of the rest of God, then we're in confusion, or we're in turmoil, or we have no peace, or we don't know which way is up, or we don't have answers, or we're perplexed. You ever been any of those? How many of you could write a book on stuff like that? I mean, it's just how it is when we don't have this ultimate peace of God in our heart. This is a big deal. This is huge to the people that are walking on this planet. I mean, the life that we're living in is getting more wicked all the time. It's getting more to a place where, hey, we're almost afraid to walk in public anymore, and that includes Carrington, North Dakota. We have to lock doors now. We have to be careful now about neighbors, about who it is that's in our vicinity, in our neighborhoods. And so it says here in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. How about that? There are two people in this particular verse. There's the them and then there's the us. It did profit us because we applied believing, alright? We applied believing because not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The Word of God did not profit everybody that heard the preaching of the Word because they didn't mix faith with it. They didn't mix trust with it. They didn't mix believing with it, alright? So they just heard the Word and did nothing with it. They just walked out of church the same way they walked back in. There's no change. There's nothing that's different. But the fact here is, verse 3 shows up. It is the answer of answers. This is the action. For we which have, say the next word, what is it? Believe, do enter into what? Ah, sure. There we go. The action of believing is rest. Do you see it? The action of faith is rest. The action of trust is rest. You're now going to rest in the promises of God. If you give yourself to God, if you pray unto the Lord, if you confess your sin, now you need to rest that He is doing His part. You need to just simply be rested in your soul and in your spirit. It's a complete submission of your spirit, giving over to God. What an answer! Simple in every way, but it is all so often the truth. It is absolutely God's plan to help you and I find the peace that passes all understanding. This incredible peace that God gives. I got to take you over here to Colossians, just a little bit over to the left here. Colossians in chapter 3. If you'll turn here to Colossians chapter 3 in your Bibles, that's still the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll look here to verse number 15. And God's Word said, and let the, what's the next word there? Peace of who? Let the peace of God rule. Now, there's a modern-day word, rule. I mean, the young people like to use that word. Why, he rules, right? I mean, they use that quite often. They talk about something. They said, this really rules, you know. This is God. It says here that the peace of God rules in your hearts. How many of you can say that the peace of God rules? In your hearts. You know, what's the word rule actually mean? It actually just simply says that He's in control. The peace of God is in control. The peace of God is taking action, is leading the way. It's guiding your thoughts. He's enabling you to live a righteous life. The peace of God rules, you see. It dominates. It controls. Can you say that? That the peace of God rules in your heart. Rules in your heart. And then He said, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. Well, hey, we're at the Thanksgiving time. And be ye thankful. So how many of you are thankful? Do you realize that God is talking about thankfulness being a prevailing spirit? That thankfulness is something that actually dominates you? That wherever you're at, you're thankful. Whatever you do, you're thankful. Wherever you're going, you're thankful. Every single day of your life, not just Thanksgiving time. Did you hear that? Not just Thanksgiving time. Always thankful. Thankful, 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 thankful. That's why we like that verse over in Romans 8:28. And where the Word of God says, and we know that all things work together for what? Good. All right? So therefore we can be thankful. And no wonder the Word of God tells us that in everything give thanks, right? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Giving thanks in everything, in everything, in every... How many of you can give thanks in everything? I mean, what's the definition of everything? Isn't it nice how God makes it so simple? Well, how can you not know the definition of everything? Well, it's all things, right? So I'm supposed to give thanks for everything, for all whatever exists. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for this flat tire. Thank you, Lord, for a brand new door. Thank you, Lord, for a busted vase. Thank you, Lord. And you can go on and on because it's all part of all, eh? Yes. Always being thankful for everything. Always. all the time. It's just such a neat thing to see this. Now I got to take you all the way over here. We're going to go over here, if you would, we're going to Jeremiah in the Old Testament here. Jeremiah. Yes, indeed. Chapter 6, please. In Jeremiah chapter 6, as we once again look at the peace or the rest, God's rest, if you will, Jeremiah 6. And the Word of God says this. This is amazing and absolutely incredible. In verse 16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord." All right, so now we know who's talking. The Bible. This verse actually says who's talking. "Thus saith the Lord." He said, "Stand." God said, "Stand." All right, what's that mean? Stand, right? Stand, okay? Somebody said, "Stay put." Yeah. Stand. Firm. Be still, if you will. He said, "Stand. Stand ye in the ways." What ways? Well, he tells us a little bit further on. He said, "Stand in the ways and," what? "See." Stand, and God said, "See." Now why does He have to tell us to see? Well, because we're not always looking. We're not always looking. Do you ever daydream? How many of you daydream at night? That's the wrong time to daydream, you know that? But how many of you can't help yourself? There I go again. Daydream, right? It's just automatic drift there. Oop, I'm a daydreaming again. How did I ever get there? But God said, "Look, I want you to see this, and I want you to see it with your eyes open. I want you to get this. I want you to perceive this. I want you to see this." And then He said, as we look a little further out, He said, "And ask." He said, "Stand and see and ask." Wow. There's a lot of work on our part in this verse. And we're being told what to do. "And ask," He said, "ask for the old paths." Ask for the old paths. The preaching of the old Word, the Word of God from the old book, if you will. The preaching of the Word of God from the Spirit of God, like it used to be preached a while back, don't you understand? And this was written some 2,000 years ago. There was problems back then like we have today. That's the cry even today. Stand, right? And see, and ask for the old paths. Get back to the preaching of the Word of God. Get to where you belong and do the things that the Word of God has taught all along in His precious and holy Word. And then, when we do that, He said, "Where is the good way?" God's telling us the good way. Now, He's telling these people back in Jeremiah's day the good way. Do you know what kind of people these were back in Jeremiah's day? I mean, you think it's bad today? Do you know the kind of people that Jeremiah had to preach to? I mean, here's the congregation. Jeremiah's up there preaching, and they put their fingers in their ears while he's preaching. How'd you like to have that preacher? And not only that, they turn their backs to him with their fingers in their ears. Can you imagine that? What kind of people is that? Wow, what a man this man Jeremiah is. And then he said this, "Where is the good way?" And then he said, "Walk therein." Did you see what he said? In the beginning he said, "Stand," Then he said, see. Then he said, ask. And then he said, walk. So if you've been looking for God to tell you what to do, hey, there it is. There it is. There it's all summed up. Stand, see. Ask, walk, and ye shall find what? Oh, there's the word rest again. He said, when you do what I tell you to do, get in the old paths, walk therein. He said, and then you'll find rest for your what? See, you can't run from God and find rest. The only way that you can find rest is be in church, be on your knees, be yielded, be submitted to God. Find grace. Find grace with God, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I appeal to you this morning. What are you going to do about the Word of God? What are you going to do about the command of the Lord Jesus Christ? Come, friend. Find that peace. Say, here am I, Lord. Do with me what you will. Do with me what you will. If you're not saved, I guarantee you, you don't have peace in your heart. You don't have peace in your heart. Come find that peace. Even if you've been telling people that you're saved and somehow or other you just down deep in your heart, no, that's not really true. Can I ask you, what will you do with Jesus and His Word here this morning? Come, find rest. Even if you're saved, you can be rested in Jesus. Find peace, submission, yielded, and obedient. Shall we bow our heads? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, no one's looking around. As God would speak to your heart and say to you what's on His heart, what will you do with Jesus, my friend? How many of you would say, preacher, I'm saved. I have the peace of God in my heart. I know that if I were to die that I'd go to heaven. I just know it 100% sure. I know for a fact if I were to breathe my last breath, I would see Jesus in the next moment. Would you raise your hand? Hold it there, please. You know that you're saved. Please keep it there. Don't put it down. Amen. I see those many hands. You may put them down. Anyone else would say, preacher, I'm saved. I know for sure. Preacher, would you? I just want to say, I'm happy that I'm saved. Anyone else? Didn't raise your hand a little moment ago? Yes, I see your hand and yours too. You may put your hands down. Is there anyone here say, preacher, I don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know. Yes, I see your hand and I see yours. Preacher, I don't have peace in my heart. And I really would like if you'd pray for me. I see your hand. Yes, I do. You may put your hand down. Preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. I need to settle that with the Lord. I just don't want to live another day wondering, will I go or won't I? Who here would say, preacher, a little while ago I raised my hand to say that I'm saved, but I also don't have the rest and peace in my heart that I need to have as a child of God. I've got things in my life that have somehow taken away the rest that I could have in my life. And would you pray for me to that end, preacher? Anyone like that, you'd raise your hand and say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart about the things in my life as a child of God, and I need victory in, and would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? You'd raise your hand. Yes, I see your hand. I see yours, and I see yours, and yes, yours too. And who else? Preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. I've got things in my life I just need to get victory in, and would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Preacher, yes, I see your hand, and yours too. And who else? Preacher, would you pray for me? This spiritual battle is such a tough one, and I just like to be able to give it all to God and just enjoy the peace that passes all understanding and be at rest with God. Who else? Is there one more before I pray? Is there one more? Father, thank you for your word. I ask, Lord, that you would do a mighty work, a great working in the hearts of these who said, pray for me. And Lord, for the one who said, the two rather, who said, I just don't know for sure that I'm saved or not. And Lord, I just ask that you'd help them to know for sure, to find that peace that would pass all understanding in their heart and soul. Give them this ultimate joy of the peace that would enable them, Lord, to live for you each and every day. And God of heaven, would you bless to this end, I pray, and we'll thank you, Lord, for the victories you would give. And Lord, be with those who are praying for peace and victory in their hearts, and they're already saved. And Lord, that you'd help them to find this ultimate joy of peace in their life as well. Lord, that you'd give victory in a special way. And we'll thank you for this and ask this in Jesus' name, I pray, and for his sake. Amen. And would you stand with me, please?